Good morning and welcome to worship with West End United Methodist Church. My name is Susan Luna Hazelwood and I serve on the hospitality team. It is a joy to have you worship with us today. We invite you to fully participate. You will find worship materials in the description section of our live feed. As we prepare our hearts and minds to worship, we invite you to light a candle as a sign of Christ's presence with you today. May God be with you as we enter this holy time together.
Greetings to you, the beautiful family of God. All of us who are here in the sanctuary are so glad to be worshiping with you at this time, wherever you are this morning or whatever time you're participating in this worship service. We are glad to be connected in the Holy Spirit as we worship together. I want to take a moment to welcome you and to ask you, if you would, to register your attendance. There should be a link along the comment section of the live stream or Facebook, not only with that link to register, but all sorts of ways to participate in worship today. As we come to our time of prayer, to our time of offering, there will be links along that comment stream to allow you to participate fully. I also invite you to take a moment to greet one another along that comment stream. It's always important to connect as a community and to see and greet one another. I want to wish a happy Father's Day to all fathers, past, present, and future, on this day when we remember and celebrate the fathers and father figures in our lives. Because it is a special day for fathers, there will be no youth small groups over Zoom tonight. There will be Sunday school, but not this evening, in the hopes that families can be spending time together. We have a couple of opportunities today to worship and come together for prayer. We have been invited by the Black Methodists for Church Renewal in the Memphis Conference to participate in a moment of prayer and silence together as a congregation, as a public witness. And our plans had been to gather at 2 o'clock outside of the building alongside West End Avenue, but the weather may not cooperate with us, so we are making plans perhaps to move that into the sanctuary. We only have a limited number of spots available, though, so we can manage our numbers. There's still some room to participate, so hopefully there's a link to our website showing up in the comment section if you would like to come and participate in that. And if you do sign up for that, we'll send you an email this afternoon with more detailed instructions. Then at 5 o'clock this evening, we'll be live streaming our service of Taze, contemplation, silence, song, and prayer. And we hope that you will join us. Our crowds are growing as part of that service, as we have a need for deep prayer and silence and listening in this time together. Normally, we would be heading into the week of Pride Festival in downtown Nashville, but for obvious reasons, that gathering has been canceled. Nonetheless, we have a virtual Pride booth on our website, and we hope you'll take a moment to check that out and maybe buy the new t-shirt designs for this year. There's a kit for prayer and spiritual practice, all sorts of things that we would invite you to consider and to pass on to your friends and neighbors as we participate in that important ministry. Finally, I'll be sending out an email with a lot more detail tomorrow, but our task force for reopening met together this week, and in prayerful discernment, we are going to be reopening the church for in-person worship on August 9th. We'll have a confirmation service the last Sunday of July with confirmands and their families, which will give us an opportunity to test run some of our protocols, and then we'll plan to open on August 9th with limited numbers so that we can maintain physical distancing with the wearing of masks and managing the flow of traffic, and all of those details will be communicated to you. But it's good to think about having folks in person and being able to see one another as we're able. So I wanted to let you know about that. And now we head into this time of worship together as we continue the journey with Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Isaac and Ishmael. We hear the story of the family of God this morning. So let us open ourselves to it and see what God has to say to us through these ancestors of our faith.
Fill the bodies of your cherished ones. Overwhelm us with your presence here.
Justice comes from you. Open our eyes to see what is right.
We cry out to you, our Redeemer, because you answer us.
Hear us in our distress, Lord. Listen to our cries.
Savior of those who take refuge in you, manifest your love in amazing ways.
Examine our hearts. May we be found faithful.
Let us come now before God with our confessions, knowing that whatever our spirits carry, we are seen and known and loved. God who hears, we confess we have not heard the cries of our neighbors, whether through inattention, ignorance, or malignancy, harm has occurred, lives have been lost, and we did not prevent it. Loving and merciful God, forgive us for our sin. Embolden us to be agents of your healing now. As the fireflies prick the coming darkness with their light, may we also do our part to infuse your light and love into all the spaces we inhabit. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. You may share these signs online through the comment sections. You may want to text someone that you care about or that you want to share the peace of Christ with today, or you may be worshiping with others around you that you may share the peace with at this time. The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
The peace of Christ be with you.
Join together in the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 21, verses 8 through 21. The child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the day that Isaac was weaned. But Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, playing with her son Isaac. So she said to Abraham, "Cast out this slave woman with her son, for the son of the slave woman shall not inherit along with my son Isaac." The matter was very distressing to Abraham on account of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Be not distressed because of the boy and because of your slave woman. Whatever Sarah says to you, do as she tells you. For it is through Isaac that offspring shall be named after you. As for the son of the slave woman, I will make a nation of him also, because he is your offspring. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and gave it to Hagar, putting it on her shoulder along with the child, and sent her away. And she departed and wandered about in the wilderness of Beersheba. When the water in the skin was gone, she cast the child under one of the bushes. Then she went and sat down opposite him a good way away, about the length of a bow shot. For she said, "Do not let me look on the death of the child." And as she sat opposite him, she lifted up her voice and wept. And God heard the voice of the boy, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, "What troubles you, Hagar? Do not be afraid, for God has heard the voice of the boy where he is. Come, lift the boy and hold him fast with your hand, for I will make a great nation of him." Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. She went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy, and he grew up. He lived in the wilderness and became an expert with the bow. He lived in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother got a wife from him from the land of Egypt. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite all of the kids to come up a little bit closer to your computer screen and to pay a little extra attention for this moment. I'm going to stay standing because I'm going to teach you a song. I know that some of you participated in Camp We, which is was our Vacation Bible School week this past week. I grew up going to Vacation Bible School in the summer, too, and I loved it. I especially loved the teenagers who would help. And I especially loved the music part, when we would learn fun songs about the Bible and about God and Jesus. And one of the songs that I learned in Vacation Bible School was called Father Abraham. Does anybody else here remember Father Abraham? Yep, I see some hands back there. So I'm going to show you how it goes. Father Abraham had many kids. Many kids had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord with a right. Father Abraham had many kids, and many kids had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. And then you keep going with a right and a left and a right and a left and a turn around. So does anybody else want to do this with me? We're going to do it all together. Ready? Father Abraham had many kids, and many kids had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord. Yay! Thank you all so much for helping me with that. So next time we're all together, maybe in Sunday school later on, we can all sing that together. I'll come to the big group time and we'll sing it together. But now you can teach it to your family. One of the things that that song teaches us is that we're all part of one big family. This summer, we're going to be hearing stories about Abraham and Sarah and Hagar and Isaac and Ishmael and Rebekah and Jacob and Esau and all of these people who were part of one big family, God's family. And now I am one of them, and so are you. We're all part of God's family. Isn't that wonderful? Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much that we're all part of one big family and that you love all of us and want us to love each other. As we hear the story today and as we hear these Bible stories through the summer, help us to know there are stories too, and we can learn from them and most of all, learn about you and how much you love us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. I have all sorts of wonderful memories about Vacation Bible School and learning Father Abraham and growing up in the church, being in church every Sunday and Sunday school on Sunday mornings, being part of the youth group and part of the Bible studies on Wednesday nights with the youth group. And yet in all of my years of growing up in the church and hearing the stories of the Bible and the sermons on Sunday morning, I don't know that I had ever heard the story of Hagar until I was in seminary. I had learned about Abraham and Sarah and sort of knew they had a son named Isaac, and from Isaac it was Jacob and then the 12 sons, and that was the birth of the nation of Israel. I think I remembered enough of that, and I thought that was basically the story of Genesis. But then I found myself in a class in seminary studying liberation theology, and we started looking at some of these ancient texts, and lo and behold, there was a whole other story in the Abraham saga. Abraham didn't just have one son named Isaac, he had two sons, and the other was named Ishmael. It was a story that had just been on the margins, and I had never heard it before. We hear Hagar's story in two installments in the book of Genesis. Part one is in chapter 16. Part two is the part that Kay read for us in chapter 21. In chapter 16, we find Abraham and Sarah still without a child. It had been years since God had made that first promise that Abraham would be the father of a great nation. And Sarah and Abraham were still waiting and waiting years later. And so in chapter 16, Sarah takes matters into her own hands. It wasn't really clear in the promise that Sarah would be the mother of Abraham's child. And so she takes a woman named Hagar, an Egyptian woman, who is enslaved by Abraham and Sarah. And the verbs in the story are very coercive. She takes Hagar and she gives her to Abraham as a wife. And Hagar has a child by Abraham, a son. And Hagar doesn't behave perfectly well either in chapter 16. As soon as she has a son, she begins to look upon Sarah with scorn. And so Sarah gets angry and jealous and makes Abraham throw Hagar and her infant son out into the wilderness. But God finds Hagar and brings her back into the fold of Abraham and Sarah. Now, I'm not going to go into too much more detail into part one because what we heard is part two, and I want to focus more on part two. What happens in part two is that Ishmael, the son of Hagar and Abraham, has grown. He's probably in his early teens. And Sarah has finally also given birth to a son. And they've named him Isaac. And Sarah looks over one day and sees Ishmael and Isaac playing together. The Hebrew's a little unclear. It could be that Ishmael is playing with Isaac or teasing Isaac. It's not quite clear. But whatever it is, she gets angry and jealous and says, "The son of Hagar will not inherit alongside my son." And so once again, she coerces Abraham and tells him to send Hagar and her son away, out into the wilderness. And I hear this story and I think Abraham and Sarah have been my heroes in the faith. And here we see them taking and using this woman's body to produce a son and then sending her and the little boy out into the wilderness to die. I don't know how to process this information. Now that I know this other story, what do I do with that? It reminds me of a feeling I had when I learned some things about my own family. As I shared with you last week and have talked about many times before, my mother's side of the family has this 200-year almost tradition of gathering in West Tennessee for a week of Methodist camp meeting. And we sing the songs of the faith, we go to church twice a day, and then on that Saturday morning, we gather in the cemetery for the Heritage Walk. And my cousin Susu leads us in a time of remembering. We hear excerpts of the journals of our ancestors and how they came to that part of the country and how they were converted to Methodism by Francis Asbury himself. And we hear stories of the examples of their faith and their goodness and their generosity. And I've always treasured these stories of my family. And so many of them are inspiring and faith-inspiring. And then it was when I was an adult, I learned that there was another cemetery about a quarter of a mile down a gravel road. And some of the tombstones in that cemetery also have the name Taylor. Not because it was a name they chose, but because they were enslaved by my ancestors. And so now they and their descendants, even until today, are buried in that cemetery. That is their family cemetery. And once again, I discover these stories that had been on the margins. And as I have lived with one story, now my eyes and ears have been opened to other stories that have gone alongside, that have also been part of that history. And how do I process that and hear those stories and integrate them into my own? It happened recently, about 6 months ago, when I first came to West End and I heard the story about how this congregation had worked so hard to build a Methodist witness in this part of Nashville, and how the first part of the building was completed in the late 20s, but the Depression hit, and it wasn't until 1940 that this beautiful sanctuary was built and opened for worship. It's a glorious story about how hard the church members worked and how much they gave and saved, and there's so much to celebrate in that story. And a few months ago, someone sent me the article that was in the Tennessean on that day in 1940, announcing the opening worship service of this congregation. And it named all of the people who would be preaching and teaching, the bishop, the district superintendent, pastors from other denominations. And then there was a sentence that said, Negroes, especially those who helped to build the building, and the household servants of church members will be seated in the gallery, in the balcony, separate. And I hear that story, and my eyes are opened and my heart is broken, and I remember that that is part of our history. And I tell these stories as the story of Hagar encourages me to do, not to shame and not to blame, but to speak them out loud, to name them as part of our history, to confess that, yes, this happened in our past. These are some of the things that our ancestors and spiritual ancestors participated in. To confess them before God and one another, and to repent and lament. Ask God and one another for forgiveness and commit ourselves to a new kind of future where no one is separated. And how does that speak to this moment that we're in? Are there still ways that we have people who can come into this sanctuary but still can't get married here? Still cannot serve communion here? What can we learn from our past that leads us further and further into God's justice and kingdom? The story of Hagar is an invitation to open ourselves more and more to the story of God. Because you see, that's the good news in Hagar's story. It's a heartbreaking, gut-wrenching story when we hear it. And yet, we can look to the activity and work and character of God who is revealed in this story. Even after Abraham and Sarah have behaved so unjustly and without love and compassion toward Hagar and her little boy, God continues to work with them. Isaac is still the one who carries the covenant and the particular role that God has called that family to. God goes out into the wilderness and finds Hagar and reveals to her a well of fresh water and says to her, I will make a great nation of your son Ishmael also. I will watch over him. He's mine too. God goes out and claims Hagar and Ishmael and Sarah and Abraham. None of them are perfect. And as we walk through the book of Genesis, we're going to continue to see how the family of God is imperfect and dysfunctional and in conflict and how they hurt one another. And yet God continues to work on them and in them and through them. And so it is that God is still at work in all of us, in our story, in every story. And then perhaps the most beautiful piece of good news that comes from this story. A few chapters later, when Abraham dies, both of his sons, Isaac and Ishmael, bury their father together. They stand in the same cemetery because they are family. We are family, and every story matters. And God is with us and will never give up on weaving us together into one beautiful family. Let us participate in that beautiful work. Amen.
Would you stand as you are able and join in our affirmation of faith, number 883. It should be on your screen as well. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please be seated. As we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up your prayers. You may write them in the comments section on the live feed, or you may send a prayer request via our website. Those instructions should be given to you in the comments. Our pastoral prayer team prays for everyone via Zoom on Monday afternoons. We invite you to share those prayers. The rose on our altar this morning celebrates the birth of Charlotte Jamison Walton, who was born on June 10th to Amber and Will Walton. Prepare us now to hear you speak to us, loving God, as we lift up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you are faithful. You are loving. You are good. We praise you that while we often choose to look away, to ignore and disregard, and sometimes to outright abuse others, you always hear the cries of those who are most vulnerable. You have shown us what it looks like to choose love over hate, to sacrifice for the sake of others, to care deeply for all people. Your heart, O God, is especially tuned to the forgotten, the forsaken, and the oppressed. So we pray this morning that you would tune our hearts also, that we might join with you in the work of creating a more just and equitable world. We pray this morning for those who are sick in body, mind, or spirit. Grant them your healing touch, that they might be made whole. We pray for those who are grieving, especially those who cannot gather with their loved ones during this time. May you hold them close and grant them your comfort. We pray for those who are isolated and lonely, for those who are unable to leave their homes. Grant them your abiding presence and the knowledge that you are always with them. We pray for those who are struggling to make ends meet, that they might find the resources that they need. Grant them your provision, O God. We pray for those whose working conditions do not promote health and safety. Grant them your protection. And finally, O loving parent, on this Father's Day, we remember and we give thanks for all those who are fathers and father figures to us, for the ways in which they have loved and nurtured and guided us. We give you thanks. We pray that you would grant them wisdom, strength, and grace in their work of fathering. We also remember those fathers who have lost children to death, and those who have longed to be fathers but were unable to have children. We pray for fathers who do not have good relationships with their children, and for children who do not have good relationships with their fathers. To all of these, O God, grant your peace. All of our prayers this day, both spoken and unspoken, we offer to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, in whose name we pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We invite you now to give of your tithes and your offerings so that our congregation can continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world. You can give through our website, or you can text to give. You may also mail in a check, and there should be instructions on your screen. We realize that many are suffering right now. Many job losses have occurred, but we encourage you to give as you are able. We know that God can multiply those gifts for God's glory and for the benefit of God's kingdom. So we invite you to give with joy this morning.
As we go from this place, we remember that the story of God and God's family continues to be written, that God goes out before us, leading us into God's future. And may that give us hope and compassion and love and joy. May it go with us into this day and into God's future. Amen.